Brahman Sarvakshaya Stotra Sri Sri Srimani Sri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Jaya Nanta Koti Vaishnava Vinodi Jaya Namacharya Sri Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya Prem Shikala Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Radha Gadadha Sri Rasta Gaur Bhakti Vinodi Jaya Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Guru Govindana Ki Jaya Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Navadvip Dham ki jai, Gangamaya ki jai, Jayanamaya ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Vrindavan Chandra ki jai, Shiva Prabhupada ki jai, Shiva Prabhupada ki jai, Shiva Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaurabhinoda ki jai, All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru Maharaj and Sri Guru Maharaj. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 9, this is Lord Chaitanya's travels to the holy places. Where he meets Ramda, great devotee of Lord Ramachandra, whose devotion and sadhana and bhajan so much pleased to touch the heart of Mahaprabhu. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Verse 178. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at southern Mathura, he met a Ramana. This southern Mathura, presently known as Madhura, is situated on the banks of the Bhagaya River. It's a place of pilgrimage specifically meant devoted for devotees of Lord Shiva. Therefore it's called Shiva Kshetra. In this region there are mountains and forests and two Shiva temples, as well as one to Devi. Verse 179, the Brahmana who met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invited the Lord to his home. He was a great devotee of authority on Sri Ramachandra and was very much detached from material existence. After bathing in the river, Mahaprabhu went to his hermitage. But to his surprise, he found that all the bhoga was unprepared and uncooked. He invited the Lord to his home for lunch, and when the Lord came, he had made no preparations. And the Lord noted that he was very sorrowful, melancholy. So the Lord asked, "My dear sir, why didn't you cook? It's already noon." And the Brahmana replied, "My dear sir, we are living in the forest, and here we cannot get the ingredients for cooking. But when Lakshman brings the vegetables and roots and fruits from the forest, Sita will surely arrange for the cooking." Now, obviously, he wasn't going to eat lunch anytime soon, but Mahaprabhu was very satisfied to see this Brahmana standard of devotion and meditation and worship. And then suddenly, the Brahmana came to an external consciousness and realized the situation, and he very hurriedly began cooking. So, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he served the Lord his lunch. And the Lord was very satisfied, not so much by the lunch, but by seeing the standard of devotion in this Brahmana's life. That even after serving the Lord his lunch and pleasing the Lord in various ways, the Brahmana remained very sorrowful and would not take his lunch. Seeing this, the Lord asked him, "Why are you so sorrowful? Why are you so unhappy? And why are you so worried?" And the Brahmana replied, "I have no reason to live. I shall give up my life by entering into the fire or water. Because Sita Devi, the mother of the universe, and the supreme goddess of fortune, has been apparently touched by Ravana, and my heart is very troubled to consider this. So I cannot continue living. But although my body is burning, my life will not leave me." So Mahaprabhu began to reason with him, "Sir, you are learned pundits. Why don't you consider the situation? Sita Devi, the dearmost wife of the Supreme Lord, is the form constituted of eternal bliss. With material eyes, no one can even see her, what to speak of touch her. Material energy has no such power or ability. Therefore, when Ravana kidnapped her, he received only an illusory form. When Ravana arrived, Sita disappeared, and it was to cheat him that he kidnapped that form." And then Mahaprabhu quoted from the Upanishads to justify his point that material vision and perception has no jurisdiction in the realm of spiritual substance. And then he concluded his discourse, "Just have faith in my words and do not burden your mind any longer with this misconception." So the Brahmana was simple. And therefore he had faith in the words of Mahaprabhu and accepted his meal. And after further reassuring the Brahmana, Mahaprabhu continued on his tour to various temples until he arrived at Sikubanda. And there among the Brahmanas, Mahaprabhu, because he was just reasoning with him philosophically, and because the Brahmana was simple and devotional, he had faith in the Lord's word. But at the temple of Ramesha, the Lord happened to hear the actual narration from the Kurma Purana, where the detailed description was given of Sita Devi's abduction. Wherein it is stated that when Ravana came to kidnap Sita, and she saw him, she took shelter of Agni, who covered her and protected her by the fire from the hands of Ravana. And he kidnapped the false Sita. And hearing this, Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. Why? Because he was thinking of his devotee. The Karma Purana continues to explain how when Agni took away the real Sita and brought forth the illusory one, which cheated Ravana, which led to his liberation at the hands of Sri Ramachandra, Sita Devi was brought before the fire, at which time Agni Dev presented the real form of Sita and made the illusory one disappear. So remembering his devotee, Lord Chaitanya requested the temple commander to make a copy of those old, original, not original, but the old scrolls so he could bring the original, as far as any existing version was, back to Ramdas Vidra, and they kept the copies in the temple. And then he went back, retracing his steps to the house of Ramdas, and gave him the manuscript, which pleased and touched the heart of the Brahmana so deeply, and awarded him a realization. My Lord, I now understand that you are Sri Ramachandra himself, who has come back in the form of a sannyasi to give me darshan, which formerly delivered me from a very unhappy condition. But at that time, I was so disturbed I could not receive you properly. Will you please accept Bhaja in my house again? And of course, the Lord complied. The Brahmana served him his lunch, and Mahaprabhu spent the whole night in the house of the Brahmana. The human is born in different lands naturally have some kind of faith in the scriptures of their land. But no one can have really deep faith without a connection with a bona fide spiritual master, which works in many ways. It leads us to the shelter of Gurudev. It allows us to recognize Gurudev. And it inspires Gurudev to accept the surrender the sincere soul. In the Western world, everyone has some faith in the Bible, which is accounts over the ages of how the Lord inspired the hearts of the prophets to convey his words in their various styles, culminating in the appearance, life, and teachings of Jesus, and with his ascension, and a few darshans revealed shortly thereafter, the story ends and the case is closed. And thus we are deprived of the living, ongoing, ever-expanding communion, living communion with the Lord who reveals himself through the Shastra and by Srila Vyasadeva, who in his latest appearances, Vrindavan Das Thakur, stated that those who are fortunate, not ordinary fortune, divine fortune, can see the pastimes of the Lord continuing and expanding even today. And therefore, the very first occasion celebrated by Lord Chaitanya after the arrival of Lord Nityananda in Nadia was Vyas Puja, the worship of Srila Vyasadeva. So, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra are revealed in such detail. I mean, detail of the appearance of the places and the characters and the actual moods they were feeling throughout the Leela, in such detail, due to the benedictions of Brahma, awarded to Valmiki Muni. And Srila Prabhupada has said that appearance days of the Lord and his empowered representatives are occasions when we should absorb our minds and fill our hearts with the name, qualities, and pastimes of those souls who appear on those days, because it's even when the Lord or his great devotees appears is rich with the same blessings and potency as the original day he came, if we but immerse our hearts through submissive oral reception in his message. Srimad Bhagavatam states that O Mahapurusha, I worship your lotus feet. You abandoned the association of the goddess of fortune due to a Brahmana's curse, which led you to the forest, where you continued to pursue your own objective, the shelter of the Supreme Lord. And this verse applies to Sri Ramachandra, to Sri Krishna, and to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as they are worshipped in one of the Sadbhuja forms, in which two hands hold the bow and arrows of Lord Rama, by which he establishes the Dharma and annihilates the miscreants. The two hands of Sri Krishna holding a flute by which he enchants and attracts the hearts of all living entities. And in the other two hands, the kamandala, the danda of renunciation. So, Lord Ramachandra demonstrated the perfect behavior of the ideal king So, from a historical perspective, Valmiki is relying on a period of about 880,000 years BC, which the scholars and scientists may doubt. But the historical perspective is not, sometimes not even considered. If you look at the biographers of Chaitanya Lila, they focus on the esoteric, bringing up the exoteric, including the historical and social, only as much as necessary. Whereas Ramayana is historical perspective, but it's much more than history. Because the Puranas and other histories, you know, the scholars and the scientists, they can question their historic authenticity. And there may be some discrepancies from the historical perspective. They're historical realities, but they're much more so. The absolute truth revealing itself through the medium of history. And therefore, we should not limit or judge the absolute from a historic perspective. Rather, we should do the other way around. Evaluate history through the medium of the absolute. So, Ramayana, like the Lord himself, like the Dham herself, reveals itself on various levels according to our approach, our consciousness, and our purpose. Everyone loves a wonderful drama because it churns the emotions. It makes you feel alive. And therefore, people like to hear dramas, but they don't necessarily purify their consciousness. Their mind is the ultimate drama. But more than just absorbing our minds, it actually so much draws the soul into the lila. That not only the characters, but even the director himself forgets that this is play and becomes absorbed. And therefore, unlike other dramas which, you know, come to town and then pass along their way, this drama enlists everyone in its lila and takes them with it as the show goes on, carrying them back to our origins in the spiritual world. So for those who appreciate the wonderful drama, here's an account of the most fantastic occurrences on the land infused with wonder and mystical occurrences where humans mingle with celestials in a society rich with knowledge of divine nature. And for those who are fascinated with culture, the Ramayana depicts the Vedic culture at its best, in an age where Kshatriyas ruled under the guidance of saints and mystics, where kings aspire for the virtues of truth and humility. And tolerance. And we're so much loved by the citizens and held accountable for any discrepancies, irregularities, or unnatural occurrences in the kingdom. And therefore Srila Prabhupada, speaking on Ram Navami, cited the incident of one citizen of Ayodhya whose son died. And he came to the council of Lord Ram. And as Srila Prabhupada says, in those days, it's not when you submitted your case to the court, you know, it might be settled or you get some reply 6 years later. But the emperor had to appear to court every day to address the issues of his citizens. And this man said, my son died, and it's unnatural for his son to die during the life of his father. And he held Lord Ram accountable for this. And especially for connoisseurs of fine theology, hearing Ramayana, many questions and answers arise and evolve. Why does the Lord descend into this world? To mingle and live and interact with mortals. And the answer to that is given in Bhagavad Gita, Hidayudahidamasya Kone Bhagavati Bharata, to establish Dharma when it's lost. What is Dharma? It can be translated in so many ways. It means the inherent nature of the soul, which is to serve and to surrender to the Lord. It also means the law and order of the universe, which the Lord desires. And the rules to follow, to facilitate that order, which turns into chaos inasmuch as we deviate from the will and plan and instructions of the Lord. So the Lord comes, he descends in this world whenever Dharma becomes weak or lost, to reestablish the principles of Dharma and to annihilate the miscreants. That doesn't necessitate the appearance of the Lord. Any favored jiva endowed with this potency, material nature herself, is perfectly competent to annihilate demons. Any empowered jiva can establish Dharma. But there's one function that cannot be delegated. Love for himself can only be conferred by himself. And since the Lord's main concern is to make his devotees happy, he comes himself again and again and again. And in this light, hearing the pastimes of the Lord enlightens and enlivens and uplifts the soul. Lord Ramachandra ruled this world for 11,000 years and performed 10,000 sacrifices. And everyone was happy, and the earth excelled in bounty, and the universe functioned in perfect order. Now during those thousands of years and thousands of sacrifices, after Sita Devi was taken back into the earth by Bhumi Devi herself. Lord Ramachandra would have a golden Sita sculpted for every sacrifice, because the king has to perform sacrifice along with his wife. But he had to have a new deity for every sacrifice. So after every sacrifice, he put Sita Devi in the closet. Until there were so many Sita Devis, they were feeling really neglected. And finally, they just came out of the closet and said, "Ram, we can't be satisfied at heart by just this ritualistic function and service. And you don't spend any time with us, and we don't hear our feelings, and you don't exchange, and we're not satisfied." So he told them, "Well, just wait, because this time there's thousands of Sitas, and I have to follow this vow to have only one wife. I can only interact with one deity at a time, but just be patient, because next time around, I will marry all of you." So they said, "Well, what do we do in the meantime?" He said, "Well, take shelter of these various kings as their daughters, and then my son, Boma, who was a good boy in his youth, but became an Asura later. When Bhumasura kidnaps you and imprisons you in the caves, I'll come and rescue you and marry you. So just be patient." And it's interesting that in that same lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave on Ram Nomi, he said, Shudra means one who laments. Brahmana means one who tolerates. Because most of his lecture is just talking about, not just talking about, but elaborating on the principles of Vaiṇaśrama Dharma. So, toward the end of the Lord's Leela, he was visited by a effulgent ascetic who told Lord Ramachandra that what we're going to discuss, no one else should hear. So we have to go into private. And if anyone interrupts our conversation, you yourself will have to kill him. So they went into the room and closed the door, and Lord Ram appointed Lakshmi to be the doorman. And while they were talking, the chance guest introduced himself, "Well, I'm Yamaraj, sent here by Brahma to remind you that the time destined for your leela is drawing to a close, and you should begin to wrap it up." To which the Lord said, "Your words fill me with great pleasure, because you basically had about enough." While they were talking, Durvasa Muni appeared as the next guest, saw Lakshman guarding the door, and he said, "I demand to see the master of this house, because I've been fasting for 10,000 years, I'm very hungry, I'm becoming impatient already before I've submitted my request, so tell him I want to see him. And if you keep me waiting any longer," he just arrived, "but if you keep me waiting any longer, I will destroy all your brothers, all this land, and all your descendants." And he was already, just after a few seconds, becoming very, very agitated. And everybody knows that Durvasa Muni is someone you don't want to upset. So Lakshmana was thinking, better I die than all my kinsmen. So he interrupted the conversation between Lord Ram and Yamaraj. And then Lord Ramachandra came out in person to serve Yamaraj, Durvasa, to his heart's content. And then when he left, satisfied, Lakshmana told Lord Ram, "And now you have to kill me, Because that was the agreement. Now it's very wonderful that even at the times when Lord Ram was fearful that he'd never get Sita back, he said, I should just enter the fire, but the fire will come out. I'll enter the water, but it'll probably dry up. How do I run? Oh no. Would it ever happen that I would lose you, Lakshman? And he just couldn't bear that thought. He could bear the idea of losing Sita Devi, but he couldn't bear the thought of losing Lakshman. And then he realized, well, this is that time. So he turned to Vasishtha. What to do? Vasishtha said, all this has been foreseen by me. You must keep your promise, or else virtue and righteousness will perish, taking all souls with it. So let not virtue suffer. So then Lakshman left to fast until the end, after which Indra came and took him home. And at that time, more than ever before, Lord Ram was totally overcome with grief. And he could not remain any longer. He wanted to confer upon Bharat the rule of the land, but Bharat said, I'm not staying, I'm going with you. So to Love and Kush, whose songs had so much enchanted the Lord with his own pastimes, he conferred the rule of the land. They didn't want it. He said, no, you'll rejoin me again soon. And then when Lord Ram heard that all the citizens of Ayodhya were just, you know, collapsing on the ground, overwhelmed with grief, he appeared before them and said, what can I do to assuage your anguish? And they all unanimously said, take us with you. So, dressed in fine silk garments, coronated in Love and Kush, with the assurance they would be soon united again, with Vasishtha chanting Vedic hymns, Lakshmi on one side, Bhumi on the other, led by the power of resolution, followed by Brahmanas chanting Vedic hymns, who themselves were followed by all the humans and animals and birds and insects, leaving no one in Ayodhya. And then Lord Ram met Hanuman. And he told Hanuman, you have to stay behind. How is that possible? Hanuman said, yes, I can stay behind as long as I'm immersed in hearing your name, qualities, and pastimes. That will sustain me. And then Lord Ram followed the Ganges to the point where it ascends to the spiritual world. And there, millions and millions of celestial chariots appeared to take all the citizens of Ayodhya back to the original Ayodhya, in the spiritual kingdom. Amidst the sounds of celestial kirtan, showers of flowers. And thus the words, the benediction which Brahma conferred upon Valmiki Muni, bore fruit and continues to this day. As long as mountains stand and rivers flow, Ramayana will resonate in this world to deliver man from his sin and sorrow. So, drama requires conflict to churn the secondary emotions. That conflict was awarded by the Rakshasas. Who were creations of Brahma, just like the Devas, but they became envious of the Devas because of their superior lifestyle, and therefore they developed bad qualities. Now there are some who like to psychoanalyze devotees, which is not a good habit. Especially don't try to psychoanalyze avaduttas, because... Anyway. But you should understand that rakshasas come from dysfunctional families and very unhappy childhood. Because they consider children to be a burden, so therefore they give birth just after conception. But they don't get milk, because these rakshasi matatis, they don't have the kind of affection which transforms a mother's blood into milk and nourishes the child. So they feed their children blood. So early on in life they get this taste for blood. And they may appear as very beautiful people, but internally they're very grotesque and ugly. So these rakshasas facilitate the drama, because drama necessitates there be the secondary mellows, the humor, which in Krishna Lila is perfectly supplied by Madhumanga. Humor, surprise, wonder, chivalry, anger, ghastly horror, frightening situation, and most characteristic of Ramayana, the pathos. And the more the rasas are churned, the better the drama, and the more the cathartic effect. The dramas of this world, they don't purify the heart. Usually they do just the opposite. We like to hear dramas because it makes us feel alive. When the heroine, you know, somehow falls off the top of the Empire State Building, I don't know who appears, Superman or Spider-Man or King Kong or somebody, catches her in midair. Oh, such a relief. But it doesn't really purify the heart. When the Sita is in peril and everyone identifies with the Universal Mother, the Supreme Goddess, we become so caught up in the Leela that the calamity breaks our hearts. And when in the course of the battle, Indrajit appeared before Ram with Sita Devi and cut off her head. And then Lord Ram became completely discouraged. This whole campaign was waged just to rescue Sita. Now she's been killed before my eyes. What's the use of fighting anymore? The struggle, this campaign is so useless and meaningless. And he was ready to give up. But Vibhishan, who was also Rakshasa, because his mother was so disturbed that she had for children Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and their sister, and she asked her husband, can't we at least have one devotee as a child? He said, well, you came to me at the wrong time. If you do it according to the regulations, we'll get a good son. He was a Vibhishan. So when Ram was so lamenting, he was ready to just give up and die. Vibhishan told him, this is just an illusion. This is his magic show. He didn't kill Sita. And Lord Ram said, how can it be so real? How can I be bewildered like this? He must have killed Sita. I said, no. How can I go on? No, it's just an illusion. He said, don't even try to console me. He just killed Sita. I can't go on. I said, no. So Vibhishan explained that in a sacrifice, the sacrificial priest can create duplicates who are so alike that no one can tell the difference. So Vibhishan told Lakshmi, you be the sacrificial priest. He told Hanuman, get firewood. And he brought tons and tons of sandalwood for firewood. And they lit the fire. And Agni appeared out of the fire and said, my Lord, what do you desire? And Vibhishan said, you have to show him how these duplicate forms are so alike that no one can tell the difference. So Agni produced 8 Sitas who are so alike that Lord Rama is saying, maybe it was just an illusion. And then he created 108 Sitas. And then he created 16,000 Sitas. And they all looked at Ram, and they wanted to marry him. He said, no, I have a vow. I have to follow in this life. I can only have one wife. So what are we supposed to do? Just wait. Next time around, I will marry you. So, in this way, the drama is so real, so convincing, so absorbing, that not only the characters, but even the director himself, who is the Lord, becomes so immersed in the Leela that when it goes on and returns back to its origin in the spiritual world, everything goes with it and attains your purpose and goal of life by taking advantage, by properly following the Vaishnava festivals, the appearance days, by absorbing our minds and filling our thoughts with the name and pastimes and messages of art. So Ramdas Vipa, we are hearing from the words of Kaviraj Goswami, is so much lamenting the plight of Sita Devi, that the Lord himself came to him with the original manuscript of Sita's plight. Awarding him the realization that Lord Chaitanya is Ramachandra himself. Come to this world just to make his devotees happy. But it's not a static reality. It's a dynamic communion which is ever evolving. And Ram Leela serves like a bridge because it's in between the realm of Aishwarya and Vidarya. So Ramayana, in general, we don't have a Vaishnava commentary because there's really no need for a commentary. Because Lord Ramachandra's pastimes as the ideal king and perfect human requires no explanation. You know, to have one wife, no more than one wife, doesn't really require any commentary. Krishna Leela, this requires elaborate commentaries, you know. The Lord dancing with others' wives. You know, these things, you must be disciplined and guided and have explained by a bona fide spiritual master what this means. So the conditioned souls want to imitate the Lord. Don't imitate Krishna. If you want to imitate, imitate Lord Ramachandra. The ideal in your devotion to virtue, humility, truth, and service. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.